بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. It's an incident that has been quoted. Someone went into the khidmat of a buzurg, and the buzurg asked him to sweep the masjid. So he got out of the masjid, and then he was asked, why the buzurg asked you to sweep the masjid? You felt bad about it, what, that you went out. So he says, no, that was not the point. The masjid was not at all dirty, it was not in a bad state, it was clean. It was not in need of being swept. But the dirt that was in the masjid was myself. So therefore I had to come out. So the thing that we go to achieve in the khidmat and the service of this Buzurgan-e Deen is the purification and the cleansing of the soul. Right. Unfortunately, because of the environment, because of several other factors, there are certain problems, there are some type of dirt, evil, etc., that covers the nafs, it covers the soul. And if this dirt is not being covered and cleared up, then they become such thick layers that to remove them becomes a real problem. بَلْرَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. Such layers of dirt and dust, they become like permanent features in that heart. So before they become like permanent features in the heart, that has to be scraped out. It has to be scrubbed out. The reason why we go out to these people is to get that scraped out, to get it cleansed out. Then the Buzurgan-e Deen use different methods to get this scraped out and to get this clean, cleansed. Some, they will ask to do some type of service. Nizamuddin Balkhi Rahmatullah Alayh, when Abu Sa'id had come, Rahmatullah Alayhi had come to him. So Abu Sa'id Rahmatullah Alayhi was the son of his sheikh. Now imagine, the son of the sheikh is coming to the murid. He is coming to the murid for his islah and reformation, correction. He'd been leading a little bit of a free type of a life, not concerned about his islah. And someone just taunted him once that your father had a different color altogether. So this had taken effect in his heart, and he said to himself, now I had enough and I need to rectify myself. Then he inquired from his mother, my father is no more, and then where do I go? Who's taken and who's got the treasure of my father, that I may go and acquire that lost treasure? So he was explained that go to Balkh, Afghanistan. Now he was determined, a firm resolution and pure determination that I need to go and achieve this. I have lost this and I need to go and acquire this. How do I go and acquire it? Where do I go and acquire it? India to Balkh to Afghanistan is not a small thing. In that zamana, 250-300 years ago. So it's a difficult thing, arduous journey. But when that determination gets into a person, then shifting of mountains is a simple thing. Allah Ta'ala grant us this. Okay? That determination, that resolve. So with that firm determination, that resolve, he sets out And now the sheikh hears about his coming, and there's a big warm reception. The sheikh is a very, very popular sheikh. Great ulama, great people are bi'at at his hands. So they give him a tremendous reception, and they receive him with a lot of respect. The first few days, all the pomp and the glory, the good type of food, and all type of beautiful clothes, and they would seat him in the place of greatest respect. The sheikh would sit in the company of the rest of the murids. So after a few days, he says to the sheikh, you know, I haven't come for this. I haven't come for this respect. I haven't come for this show. I haven't come for all this. See? جب کسی کے دل میں طرف ہو تو پھر کوئی بھی چیز بری نہیں ہوتی. When the person has got the real urge, he's got the real true motivation, he's got that enthusiasm, then nothing comes like a mountain before him. Any mountain he can move away. But Allah Ta'ala, وہ طرف اور وہ صحیح طلب نصیب فرمائے. May Allah Ta'ala grant us that type of طلب. In the old days, people would spend time in the service of these Buzurgan Deen, 10 years, 15 years. You look at these people in the past, 15 years, 20 years. Because they knew the importance of it. Right? Like Ta'miru Zahir was an important thing. To rectify the outer self, it's important to rectify it, to improve it and to correct it. So that is an important thing, and everybody understands the importance of it. I need to get my outer appearance right. Right? So we go to lengths to get that thing right. One tooth is not right, one spend 2,000 rands, 3,000 rands. Right? One eye is not right, person can spend 50,000 rands just to get the eyes right. Heart is not right, quarter million rand can be spent just to get that right. So in order to get the physical self right, we go to lens. Any amount is not too much. The doctor says, just stay and sit in that one posture, then you remain in that one posture for as long as he will say. Because you understand the importance of it. Then he says, you have to leave food out for 3-4 days, whatever you say. You have to leave out food. And you will just have to suffice with this type of liquids. And the 3-4 days, 5 days, sometimes a week. And he carries on that way. The reason is he understands the importance of it. He understands the importance of his health. And to gain back his health, he can go to any lens. So when the importance has come, then he is prepared to go through any type of sacrifice, any type of difficulty. But with respect to the batin, we don't consider it as important. Right? Whereas comparatively, the batin is much more important than the physical self. The physical self, if it rots and decays, worse is you will die. Nothing worse can happen. But if the spiritual self has decayed, then there's everlasting doom, destruction, ruin. In man, there are two enemies, right? One is the nafs, and one is the shaitan, right? Different type of enemies you have. Then you have the external enemy, and that is the unbeliever, the kafir, he's another enemy, right? So with respect to the enemy that is zahir, that you can see, he is clear, you can see it. Right? To overcome and overwhelm that enemy is quite simple. Why he is visible, you can see it. It's not something discrete, it's not something that you cannot see. So to overwhelm him, to overpower him, is quite simple, quite manageable, you understand. Right? And even if that kafir had the better over you, if he killed you, you die as a shaheed. Right? So both ways you haven't lost. You try to overpower him, but if he has overpowered you, he has gained the mastery over you, he's killed you, then too you are not at a loss, you become a shaheed. But these two enemies, nafs and shaitan, if they overpower you, na'uz billah, Allah ta'ala protect. If shaitan or the nafs have overpowered you, then there's everlasting doom, everlasting destruction, this ruin. Now you become a slave of temptation, a slave of the nafs. Right? Nafs says, take this type of haram wealth, you are prepared to take it. Go behind this type of haram lust, then you are prepared to go behind it. So you have become enslaved to this temptation, become enslaved to this nafs, shaitan. Right? And the end of shaitan is jahannam. لَأَمْلَأَنَّ جَهَنَّمَ مِنْكَ وَمِمَّنْ تَبِعَكَ مِنْهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. Allah Ta'ala spells it out clearly that your end and the end of those who follow you all will be jahannam. Right? Your end and the end of all those that follow you all will be jahannam. So Allah Ta'ala spells it out to mankind, spells it out to humanity that see, this is the consequence, this is the end of shaitan. Whoever follows shaitan, then that will be the same end. Allah Pak has not got any personal grudge against anybody. No personal relationship and no personal grudge. Because he's shaitan, therefore Allah Ta'ala hates him. No. It is on account of that deed, that work, that Allah Ta'ala despises him. Allah Ta'ala hates him. So if you also imitate him in his ways, in his behavior, in his conduct, then just as he has become despised, then you will also become despised. He has become hated, you will also become hated. Hence the evil of this nafs and shaitan is far worse than the evil of that kafir. Right? That kafir will kill you, that will be the end. You, inshallah, if you came under his sword, you go into Jannat. But if you came under the evil of nafs and shaitan, then there's everlasting destruction and ruin. Right? Nafs is commanding you from one evil, from one level to the other level, right? And you become enslaved from lust, temptation, one evil to the next evil, the second to the third, and until you become completely captivated, completely under his wing. See? Now the evil of it is far worse. The reason for it being worse is because it's a discrete, you cannot see. Right? You can't see nafs and you can't see shaitan. إِنَّهُ يَرَاكُمْ هُوَ وَقَبِيلُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا تَرَوْنَهُمْ. He sees you and you cannot see him. The nafs you cannot see, but the nafs is seeing you, is watching you. And the nafs is waiting for every opportunity to make you slip. The nafs is doing the same to you and the shaitan is doing the same to you, every opportunity for you to slip. Right? So this is really the challenge of this life. You know, people say, it's nice, not good to have one type of job, becomes monotonous, you know, no challenge in life. So if you really ask, what is the challenge in life, then this is the challenge in life. Can you overpower nafs? Can you overpower shaitan? Then this is the challenge in life. As the hadith says very clearly, that the strongest amongst you is not that person who can drop his opponent. Rather, the strongest amongst you is the one who can drop his nafs, he can restrain his nafs. That nafs is saying, oh, it's an occasion of anger, I must give him a piece of my mind, show him what I can do him. But at that time, to have that restraint, to have that control over that nafs, this is the thing that is required. Right? It's very difficult at that time when you are young, you've got all the power, you've got all the strength, and he slapped you, or he's abused you, he's insulted you, and you keep quiet only for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, you keep quiet. You maintain your silence, you maintain your composure, you maintain your cool. And to have this nafs under guard, under restraint. Al-Muwa Ismail Shaheed Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, people would generally feel from his writings, etc., that he is a very hot-headed person. No. He wrote in a very firm style, Taqwiyatul Iman, etc. He wrote in a firm style, but You can't show at any occasion that he lost himself. Very cool, very calm. Even if it was a discussion with anybody, it would be very cool, very calm. But yes, in the discussion he would be very straight, very clear. He would present his arguments in a very clear way, very emphatic. See? Nothing ambiguous. He is lecturing a big audience in Jama Masjid Delhi, and one person from the crowd says that, Hazrat, we hear that you, na'uz billah, are from illegitimate stock. Now imagine the abuse. It's a big abuse, insult in a big crowd to say you are an illegitimate. Is it a small thing? A great thing. Say, Hazrat, humne suna ke tum harami ho, haram zade ho. So it's a big insult. It's a terrible insult. So his only response is, the witnesses of my father's wedding is still alive. The witnesses of my father's marriage are still alive. Go and look in Roorkee, Muradabad, etc. You will find the witnesses of my father's marriage. Maybe you are misinformed. You have got the wrong information, otherwise they are still alive. And then, with the same composure, the same cool, the same breath that he was speaking with, he continued with the takreer, with that was, with that bayan that he needed to carry on. See? So there's control over the nafs, control over that anger, control over pride, control over temptation. Now, this is the thing that we come to achieve and acquire at the khanqah, that control. That discipline, that correction of the nafs. You hear the famous incident of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'anhu, and he has dropped down the kafir, and the kafir spits on his face. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'anhu immediately leaves him. Now he has got the upper hand over him, he can kill him. That man is at his mercy. It is just a matter of just poking him with a dagger and end of the story. The man is provoking Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu the way he spits on his face. And Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu spares him. But now why? Up till now you had all the upper hand over me. You could have just killed me. You could have just pushed the dagger into my heart and I would have been no more. But now at this moment, why do you spare me? So Ali radiallahu anhu says that up till this moment, I would have been killing you for the sake of Allah. Right. But now that you have spat on my face, if I do kill you, I'm killing you for my own self, to appease my own conscience, to appease my own self, my own nafs. That you have spat onto my face, and I need to retaliate, I need to take revenge for that. So I'm not doing it any longer for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, I'm doing it for myself. So now, this will not be a jihad. If it's not a jihad, then why should I waste my energy in that? Why must I kill you then? I'm not killing you for my own self, I'm killing you only for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. But now there's a mixture. It is the nafs and it is Allah Ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala doesn't want anything like this. So that level of control, that level of constraint, the level of restraint against oneself. Many an occasion you'll find that the jealousy has the better over us. Don't you find it? Jealousy has the better over us. Suddenly the person becomes very wealthy. He's got a beautiful job, or perhaps he invested in the right avenues and he became very, very wealthy. Now the rest of the family cannot see it. The rest of the family, the rest of the friends, they cannot see it. He was one of us now and he excels just now. How did he go up like this? How did he climb up this ladder? All the brothers are khata pita. They're all making ends meet. You know, they're just breaking even. And this person here just escalated. He just went up. So, initially, that jealousy will prompt them. You know, he may have stole something. No, something, he may have robbed someone. You know, they say also, behind every wealthy person is some fortune that he had robbed, right? Something behind every wealthy person, every prosperous person. How he prospered? So this is a jealousy that is speaking. We can't see the person where he is. So we need to appease ourselves that how did he come up there? So now the jealousy has to speak. The jealousy has to speak. And mind you, this jealousy, it affects a person of that same profession. You are an alim, so you see another alim that's escalating, he's going up, so you can't see him. You are a businessman, you see the next person going up, so you can't see him. You are a doctor, so you see the next person, you can't see him. So, persons of that same profession, if one is going up, and you can't see him, then you need to suppress him somehow. Either clearly or bluntly, but you will definitely suppress him. And the reason for suppressing him is the jealousy. Why is he acknowledged? Why is he recognized? And why people do not recognize me? So somehow or the other, discreetly, openly, clearly, by way of inference, but you need to smash the person down. You can't recognize him. You can't acknowledge him. So this is that jealousy. And this was that very jealousy that smashed Shaitan. Because he say, ye kal ke londe, mere se bar gaye. This youngster, he is just made yesterday, and he just excelled me. I've got so much of advantage over him, so much of ibadat I've made, and I've got no recognition. This man comes about and there, he's escalated that ladder. He's gone up so fast. So this shaitanat that is within us is not visible. You see, this that is within us, this enemy that is within us, we can't see it. But it's prompting you. It's making demands. Right? And it's being spurred up. It's being spurred up. And this is being spurred up by nafs and being spurred up by shaitan. And this is even more destructive. The physical thing, alright, it's wrong, it's destructive, it's ruining. But this type of thing, jealousy, pride, etc., that is even more destructive. Because pride, jealousy, etc., it's got its root with shaitan. Shaitan also, he was destroyed because of this aspect. And unfortunately, this is nowhere to be found. We don't even worry about it, not no concern. And we are jealous, we become envied, we become arrogant, and we don't even concern ourselves. We don't even consider it as a wrong. Arrogance, that pride. Ham chu man digar anes, there's nobody like me. We find an occasion where we're going to speak about ourselves, somehow or the other. Logo ko bare banne ka shok rehta hai. People have that aspiration to, you know, to come big, to be recognized, to be known. They say that one American had to come to Canada, you know. So they have a little attitude of themselves. That they feel that they are always superior, right? So they have a little bit of attitude. So the Canadian friend is taking him around. This is the interesting thing here. That is the interesting thing there. And see this and look at this. So he's taking him around, and amongst the things that he showed him was the Niagara Falls. So this Canadian is asking the American, and if you got something like this in your country? So he's speaking in his dialect, you know, American dialect. No, we don't have something like this, but we have got plumbers that can fix up a hole that's such big, you know, a leak such big, we got plumbers that can fix it up. A leak so big, we have got plumbers that can fix it up. So yeah, bare banne ka shok. We want to show that we are more smart. We are something superior, something greater. Now this, where is it coming from? It's coming from shaitan. And now we're practicing this, we don't consider this to be wrong and haram. This pride and this arrogance, we practice it. See? Our homes, see? Or whatever, even our children, the type of clothing they are made to wear, they begin to naturally act proud. And we don't even realize it. They are acting proud. They have got an attitude, people are talking to them. How do they respond? And we see this behavior in the child, and we don't think much about it. Whereas this is that very thing. You know, just a casual glance at the Quran Sharif, I've seen about 8 places. 8 or 9 places I've seen Aba wa stakbara, about shaitan. And then about Fir'aun, wa stakbara huwa wa junuduhu. Again, the same pride. And about 8 nations Allah Pak speaks about, and the destruction, the root of the destruction is pride. The root of the very destruction is pride. Arrogance, attitude. And then we don't consider it as a serious thing. That's the problem. If it was that we practiced a wrong, and we considered it as wrong, alright, there was a room for improvement. Now we are doing a wrong, and we don't consider it as wrong. We don't consider the wrong as wrong. That becomes compounded, becomes more difficult. So this happens when one person is excelling, one person is coming a little higher, and when he's becoming more acknowledged, people are recognizing him, they're seeing him. So now, jealousy has the better over you. Pride has the better over you. Why is he excelling? Why are we inferior? Why are we down? Why is he escalating? How is he going top? So the one way to put him down is to pass remarks against the person. Yeah, he's doing this. He must be doing something underhand, you know. If he's like this, then he's got his own history as well. He's got his own baggage as well, right? So somehow to cut him to size, he's got his own baggage. Why? That jealousy is speaking within us. Let's cut him off. Let's cut him down. And we don't realize that these are that very shaitanic sicknesses that brought his destruction, everlasting doom. Shaitanic sickness. You know, one is a guna that is related to lust, right? Eyes. That is haram. It's very bad. But worse than that is this sin. The sin of pride, sin of arrogance, you know. The reason is that this is not visible. You can't see it. But you are practicing it. Somehow you are expressing that jealousy of yours. You are expressing that pride of yours. And really the consequence of pride and jealousy is far worse. Far, far worse. Just that we don't understand it. Because we don't understand it, we perpetrate it, we become victims of it, but we don't realize to what extent people don't go just to practice the jealousy of this. When we hear of stories of jadu and all that, what is the underlying factor? 70-80% of the time is jealousy. Why that man is escalated? Why is he? Why is that family more prosperous? The children are more prosperous in that family. Why? Why aren't our family so prosperous like their family? 70-80% of the time, this type of sorcery, etc., the roots are in jealousy. One friend of mine was here, so he says he's in the hardware, and there was a woman that used to come to him. And she was making it, Allah gave her barakat, whatever it is, and she put up a house for herself. And as she just completed the house, and within a week or something, this friend of mine's heard that she passed away. What happened? So they went and explained to him what had happened. He's built his house in an area where they are a little bit poorer people. So they couldn't afford the type of house that he put up for himself. So some of the neighbors had got along and said, you have built up a house and we need to give you a feast. We need to give you a dawat. And they gave him a feast. And they poisoned the food. And that woman died. One or two years ago. But that jealousy, they can't see it now. He has got that. Why has he excelled? He was of our level. How has he gone so high? So let's finish him up. Let's destroy him. So somehow or the other, that jealousy has to speak. It has to speak. This jealousy and pride, as I say, these are things that are not visible. But the destruction it brings is far worse. We don't see it, we can't see it, so we don't realize what it is. See? So in the khanqa, this is what we go and correct and rectify. This anger that is uncontainable, this jealousy and pride that we think that is part of life and part of culture, now it's become like culture. So the one person now is gone up. So the rest of the friends, they say that we have to cut him to size. Now how do you cut him to size? Cut him in a very smart way, in a very, very sophisticated way, We need to cut him to size. Now, his daughter is about to get married. So the friends say, you know, any khidmat will do the khidmat for you, you know. So they get into his good books. That's the first level. So he says, now these are my well wishes, they're coming to do, offer me khidmat. So you have a degree of confidence in the person that is cooperating with you. So as they got closer to him now, very, very close and confident, and became very, very close to him, now they say, see, this is your only daughter, one and only daughter, and you should really do this wedding properly. Have it as a big affair. Otherwise people will say, such a wealthy person, prosperous person, and perhaps that girl, that daughter of his was a burden, he got rid of this girl. So rather make it an affair, proper affair, make it qaida sir, properly, do it a proper job. Buy this type of jewelry, go to Dubai for that shopping, and Bombay for another shopping. Yeah? Dubai for one shopping, and Bombay for another shopping. Yeah? And get that type of stage, ICC, wherever. And do all these things. Now, how much? Sky is the limit, how much? And he went, and he went, and he bought, and he bought, and he bought, and he did everything. Until he lost all that investment, all that what he had earned over the years, he lost everything. And now, he is in the overdraft, he is in the red. Now these people are sitting back and celebrating. Now, mashallah, we got him. How we need to cut him to size, we cut him to size. They actually saying, mashallah, at the jealousy at the haram of this. They involve him in haram, and they are rejoicing at that. But what he's speaking, it is this jealousy that he's speaking. So the consequence of jealousy, of pride, arrogance, anger, etc. is far worse. But we don't realize it. We can't see it. Because we cannot see it, therefore we consider it as a small thing, as a light thing, insignificant. We don't even consider it in the first place as a guna. Right? These mashayikh, may Allah Ta'ala fill their graves with nur, they understood, they understand human psychology, they understand the human soul. And the type of destruction, ruin that the soul brings, they understand it better than us. So they have identified, this is the problem. Go and rectify that. إِذَا صَلُحَتْ صَلُحَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ When this gets right, that pride, that jealousy, that greed, see, that anger, that temptation, all that comes to size, then you find that the entire body is right. But if that is not right, then You haven't really achieved anything. Right? That pride is there, that arrogance is there, and the whole host of problems are there, and you are just improving the external self, you're not correcting all this. Really, you haven't progressed. It is like this type of internal sicknesses, or like you told the person, you know what, this type of business is haram, don't do this business here. Right. So he leaves the business, but his heart is filled with hubbe mal, an inordinate love for wealth. You know, he can't satiate himself with that wealth. His heart is overwhelmed with that. Now he left that practice, and he's gone to another haram. Why? He had to give vent to that feeling of his feelings, his sentiments are with wealth. His emotions and feelings are with wealth, and you stopped him from one. So this is going to be expressed in something else. Like it's a balloon, you know. And that balloon, you press it from one end, it has to show out at the other end. Right? Exactly the same. That illness, that sickness of wealth, that wealth, excessive wealth, love. One is an ordinary love of wealth, everybody has that. That is not, it's not a sin. But one is an excessive love for wealth. You can't distinguish between halal and haram. So now he asked him to leave out one. The man has left that one, he's gone and he's hopped onto another guna. If he was, for example, he was robbing, so he's not robbing any longer, but now he's taking interest. If that's not the case, then somehow he will try and involve himself in games of chance. And if he can't get it right, he'll try and extract a fatwa that this is permissible for me. Somehow or the other, he'll try and extract a fatwa from someone. How I can legalize it? How I can make it permissible? But what he's talking, it is this nafs, this love in, this is excessive love for wealth. That is what he's talking. So it couldn't express itself in one way because it was embarrassing. So he got it in another way. that wine, taking wine, consuming wine, etc., sounds a little bit embarrassing. You know, if someone takes wine, etc., he's acting drunkard. So it sounds a little bit embarrassing. But in the confines of your house, go and take the drug, get the same feeling. Now it's not such an embarrassing thing. This was embarrassing. This is not so embarrassing. Go and do this. So these mashayikh and busughan ad-din, they have understood that the problem lies somewhere else. The problem lies somewhere else. And the problem lies in the nafs. And the nafs has to be controlled. It has to be disciplined. It needs to be rectified. Right? You rectify it, إِذَا صَلُوحَتْ صَلُوحَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ. When you rectify that, then the entire body goes right. That entire body goes right. Now, when you stopped him from that haram, not only will he leave that haram, but he will be so cautious, so careful, because his nafs, his soul is being disciplined. So if he has to take the next step, he's going to inquire, is this right or not right? I lay down the cards clearly before you, and I don't want any concession in the shariat. I don't want any concession. Tell me whether this is halal or haram. Otherwise, you'll have, how many cases don't you have of talaq, 3 talaqs people give? This one case just came now. Right. And somehow or the other, you will try and force and you will try and extract a fatwa of halal. The importance of the shariat is not in the heart. When it's not in the heart, say, no, but I didn't mean this, and this is what happened, and I was forced to say it, and I gave it in writing, and you know, at that time I'd taken an overdose of a sleeping tablet or something, and I couldn't contain myself, my temptation, I couldn't contain, I just said those words. I said it out of anger. So by कौन अपने बीवी को मोहब्बत के साथ तलाक दे मैं मुझे आपको आपसे बड़ी मोहब्बत है तो 1, 2, 3 तलाक मैंने आपको दे दिया. Who gives a talaq in love and muhabbat? He gives it in anger. I said, no, I was in anger and I gave the talaq. So this is what is to be acquired in the khanqa, to get that discipline, to get the, where's my limit, what must I do, what is Allah Ta'ala happy with, to get that type of mold within oneself, within the mind, within the heart. You need to get the proper mold. Once the mold is right, then ek ek kadam ko phoom phoom karke uthayenge. And every step, you are checking it out. This is right or not? This is right or not? Allah Ta'ala likes it or not? Allah Ta'ala is displeased with this. Is it within the limits or not? Or is it beyond the parameters? What is it? So every step you are guarding, you are very cautious, you are very careful. But for that to happen, we need to discipline this nafs. Is this jealousy? Is this pride? Is this love for wealth? Is this love for recognition? I must be recognized. I'm in a madrasa now, so I want to be now the trustee of the madrasa. By what are you doing this for? If you want sawab, then the sawab is not subject to you becoming a trustee of the masjid. If it is that you want to be on the board of the directors of the masjid, whatever it is, then the sawab is not subject to you being a director or a trustee. Why you want to be in that position? Why do you want to be in that position? So this is where this discipline comes in. If that's my niyat, is that I want sawab, then I'm prepared to do anything. I'm prepared to do any service of the masjid. I don't want to be at a certain position. But Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu ta'ala, he is the commander-in-chief of thousands of warriors, thousands of the soldiers. He is the commander-in-chief. Such recognition, such power, such a distinguished position he's got. And from the position of commander-in-chief, now he's come down, the whole Sham, whole Syria, and he is the commander-in-chief. And he's brought down as an ordinary foot soldier. And then when he is questioned by Umar radiallahu anhu, he says, my outlook to jihad is totally different. It is not for that position that I fight and I strive. See? It is not for that position, it is not for recognition. It is for the service of Islam. If Islam wants me to be acting and to be serving in that capacity, I will serve in that capacity as a commander-in-chief. And if Islam wants me to be acting in the position of an ordinary soldier with the rest of the crowd, well, I'm happy with that. My intention, my niyat is not that recognition and the position. My intention is service. Service at that position, service at this position, both means the same to me. It doesn't mean that I will feel much more happier in that position and feel nothing about it if I'm demoted, I'm brought down. I feel nothing about it. Both is the same to me. So this is that mold that is required, you see. Now today, if these type of things do happen, then let me tell you, person will suffer depression. Then you will need to send him to a psychiatrist. He must go for counseling. Okay? Antidepressants. Eh? Doesn't happen. Only he'll feel so lousy about it. Hey, what I was. People don't appreciate me. All the services that I've rendered. And no recognition, no acknowledgement. And suddenly he comes sleepless, depressed. You need to send him for counseling. So this is the result of not disciplining the soul. We haven't learned how to discipline it. If that soul is disciplined, then you are looking at it totally differently. In fact, now you are as a foot soldier, an ordinary soldier, sometimes you'll find much more happiness in that, more cheer in that. You know, when I was in that position, then I was under so much of stress, so much of responsibility. Now I'm an ordinary person, I were only my fikr. They had the fikr of the entire army. Thousands of people, so much of people, and all the fikr was on my head. And now I've got just the fikr of my own self. So he'll feel much more relieved. Do you see, would the correct mold, when the soul has got the correct mold, it's got the correct shape, the correct formation, what a world of a difference. Here, the man was feeling depressed. In the same situation, that man is cheering up. So leave alone, let alone the akhirat, even in this world, you perform better, you feel better. Why? The soul, the nafs has been disciplined, it has been corrected, it has been rectified. Allah Ta'ala tawfiq nasib kare.